So my name's Therese Sweeney. Today is the 8th of December. This is the Pioneers of the Fringe project. And I'm at 40 Kelly Street, Austral, they call it now,
I think.
And I'm interviewing Roma, but I'll just pass it over and...
What's your full name?
Roma, it's Romualda, but nobody can say it. So we'll cut it short to Roma. Because when I came here, they called me every name in the book, different names, you know, Robin and all this stuff. So anyhow, one said Roma, and I said I stick to it, because short, and nobody says where you got it from, you know, and all this stuff. So, but really, it's Romualda.
How do you spell that?
Romualda, Romualda. Because my nun went, my aunt went nun. And how they changed their name, they give them another, and they gave her that one. And I was born on her day when she went. So my mother and father decided to name me for her. And everybody in my... I didn't like it because everywhere I go, where did your mother find this name? Where is this? You know, you feel out of place. I used to say, when I grow up, I call myself Maria. It's quick, you know. And and I had to shorten it, you know. So... Otherwise, was all right. And,
so what is your full name?
Romualda Scicluna, my surname, single.
How do you spell that?
S-C-I-C-L-U-N-A.
And your married name?
It's Jakubek, J-A-K-U-B-E-C. It's Slovak.
So you married...
Slovak.
A Slovak. And you are from what country?
Malta.
So where was your place of birth?
In Malta.
What town?
Hamrun.
How do you spell that?
H-A-M-U-R-N.
Thank you. It just makes it easy.
More or less is how you pronounce, you know. Sometimes it's a bit different, but mostly it's even.
And what's your date of birth?
11 of the 2nd, 35. I'm 21. Oh, God help us.
So... Your parents' names?
My father was Xavier Scicluna, the surname, which is my name, what he gave me, you know, the surname. And my mother was Sunta Scicluna, of course, because she married him. And she had seven of us.
And how many of you are living in Australia?
Three boys, one in Queensland, one I don't know where he is. I never haven't seen him for a long time. And two in Queensland, that's right. The oldest and the middle one.
So what are all your brothers and sisters' names?
I have Mike, Laura, Carm, Roma, Joe, Tarcisio is the last one. But, you know, that's the alive ones that made it. That's seven of us.
And some died at birth.
Yes,
how many
I wouldn't know.
Oh, dear.
They had them like rabbits.
Yes.
You know, so many, honest. Especially my father was in the Navy, you know. Every time she comes, she's pregnant straight away, you know. And but was all right, you know. It was not a bad life, like. It was good.
Do you identify as Maltese now, or are you as... How do
you
feel?
Still say Maltese when I see it, Maltese especially, and you hear them talking, you know. Oh, I'm Maltese too. Because you stick to it, I think. It's where you're born, you know. But don't worry me whether... I cannot just say I'm Australian, you know. It's different. But I just, as I say, if I hear Maltese speaking, then I know they're Maltese, you know. And you start talking.
So do you think in English or Maltese?
When my husband was alive, I spoke English with the children too. And... like sometimes they may ask me some word, what is that, Mom? They hear me saying, you know. And I tell them, like, but not that I spoke Maltese.
We'll talk about your own family in a minute. How old were you when you migrated to Australia?
21. And I always want to go away. It didn't matter. My mother used, because my godfather was English, because my father was in the Navy, and he was an officer there, and his wife was Maltese. And we knew them. So he was the godfather and she was the godmother. And my mother never forgave him for putting an Englishman, because she said, I'm hard-headed, you know, when I want something, I just go for it, you know. So anyhow, and eventually I came here. Since I was a child, I just want to know how the rest of the world lives, you know. So decided, then it came here accidentally, my brother, and that's it, straight away. I was 21 too, just on 21, and went and fixed for coming, you know. I always had it, I don't know why, but always want to know what they're doing on the other side. And my sisters, none of them, or brother or anybody, worried, you know. And then accidentally my oldest brother came, which was good for me. And my mother said, all right, then you go to Australia where your brother is. At least you have your brother. She doesn't realize the distance between us or anything.
So how did he accidentally come here?
Oh, he was in the army, in the band. And after a while, some friend of hers came to Australia. And they decided to come too, near them, like which they did anyhow. And they come, it took them about 6 months till you finish the immigration, like check this, check that, you know. And then after he came, I said, okay, to my mother, now I'm going. She said, well, if you're going, go at least where your brother is, so you have somebody. Not that we are close, really, like here and there. He's in Queensland. And that was that. She settled down a bit because I had someone, you know, where to go. But it was all right. It didn't bother me.
So let's, I'm just going to say at this point, just watch tapping the table, because it actually comes, I always have to get people to stop tapping the table.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like a drum player.
Yeah, that's true.
So let's think of, what was Malta like growing up for you in your community?
Well, for me, we can complain. My father was in the Navy. My mother always had good money, like. She had her money. He gets his. And we grew all right. We were always dressed good, fed good too, because she didn't mind. My father is not there, you know, just piece of bread or something. We always had what was there, what we asked for, really, she gave us, you know. Because she didn't have him around, kind of. So we were all her team, kind of thing, you know.
How was it when he came home?
Oh, we love it because he brings us something, you know. We go and grab his bag from his hand coming down the street, you know, and walk up, you know. And he knows that we will go because always run, one on each side, you know, coming up. And for us, it was nice because, oh, you know, he bring you something too and things like that. So as a child, you wait. For her, it was not easy because he was hardly home, you know. It is very hard, really, to bring seven of us. And because she was alone, she didn't let us run free either. You know, watch us that you did the right thing and everything.
And you would have helped around the house?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So did you live on a farm? Or?
No, we were living just normal in a village, you know.
And did you go to school?
Yes, I went till sixth class.
What school was that?
Hamroon High School, not high school, school, normal, everybody. From kindergarten to you go to high school, then you are in the school. And it is a four-corner school, you know. It's a big, big school, double story.
Was it the nuns that taught you? Or?
No, at first I had the nuns for stage one, stage two, which like in the kind of thing. I had nuns. They were teaching, which one was my aunt. She was a nun. And then it was wartime. Then my mother wouldn't let me go to school because she said, when air raid is on, I want you all around me. Not I don't know where you are, you know. So she stopped me going to school. And then I started going when I was eight from five, you know. So I kind of missed, because I always want to say, I say, I want to be a teacher, you know, so I can tell them where my father went and all these things. And I was too old to go, because you had to be under 16 to go to high school, to not exactly high school. After you pass high school, it's what we call it. We call it secondary school. And from there, you can learn to be what you want, kind of thing.
Did you remember the war?
Oh, yes.
And what do you remember about the war?
Oh, how I used to scare the people. We had shelter right in front of our house. they dig in the ground, you know, because malt is stone, so it's easy to dig. So anyhow, and my mother had seven of us, or six about that time, maybe six, Chester was just the last one. And anyhow, and these people opposite us were five brothers, all adults. So they built like shelves on the wall of the shelter with the door too. And they used to sleep there. You know, they were not little. And my mother had nobody to help her. She used to put big boxes on the floor and she sleeps there with my young sister, just born. And these people, the council give you permission to dig a room for you if you want in the shelter, because it's rock. Once you make the hole and the size of it, it stays. There's no painting or anything. So they made a big room in a corner of the shelter and gave the shelves to my mother to put us, because they knew she had no husband home, you know. And we used to sleep in there. And I used to paint, and they sit under you, the people, on chairs, you know. So I used to sit there, and we had the OXO boxes. I'd take one empty, and I had a little doll like that, used to buy his trappings, you know. And I put it in there, and little pieces of material, and I just, you know, play by myself in this thing. And when I get sick of it, I roll the material, put it on long cotton, and I drop it I go on the back of the people. They all run away because it's cockroach, they think. And we used to have fun, really. We didn't kind of feel we were kids, you know.
But you didn't understand what the
no,
was.
No. We made fun of everything. The Victory Kitchen people, because we didn't have enough food. And they used to have government Victory Kitchen. You go with a plate, big like this, and she gives you a spoon of something in, you know. And my mother used to say, better than nothing, I can join it with what I have, you know. So we go, anyhow. And then on their way down, those that serve us, we start criticizing them, singing, you know, on top of the shelter, because it had the sliding roof. So we go up and slide down. And we had our fun, kind of. You know, we didn't feel it like my mother would and everybody like that, you know.
Was there any bombing, or did
you... Oh, plenty. They destroyed the city nearly. All around the harbor was bombed left, right, and center.
Who bombed?
The Germans and the Italians, but mainly when Germans were the worst. And we knew the voice, the sound of their planes, too. We run when you hear, run, it's a German, you know, and we run for our life. How you get used to these things, you know. But as kids, as I say, I think we took it more, some of it for fun, you know. Run, come back, do this. It didn't work, but mothers are mothers, too. You have to look after everybody.
So after the war, do you remember when the Germans were defeated? Do you remember that, what happened in your town?
Yeah, well, we were really happy. Everybody's singing and screaming, you know. It's finished, we beat them and all the stuff, you know, but they destroyed. Where we were, we were not born. Maybe one or two, three places were broken, like bombed. My grandmother was one of them. And in two rooms house with kitchen, dining room, and toilet, that's all, not big, we had to bring them with us. They had nowhere to go. And that was six or seven them, and plus us, you know. And my mother always going, don't do this, don't do that, you know, leave them alone, and because she didn't want to bother them, like, you know, a bit kids. But you had to, you had no choice, you know. So, as I say, for the children, I think we had sometimes fun. Run to the shelter, run back. And we used to sleep in the shelter straight. Because you go up, it starts screaming again. You go down. With seven kids, you cannot go up and down every 2 minutes at night. And when they are sleeping, you pull one this way, you go that way, you know.
What did you eat?
Oh, we had really ration. Not much. No, that's true. Every fortnight, you get your, whatever, how many family you have, you get so much oil, so much rice, so much this, and they have to last you a fortnight or you starve, unless you buy black market. Because some farmers used to do that. sell it to people, black market, which is, I don't blame them either, you know. So we had what we got from the Russian, like, and that's about all. And you couldn't spend much, kerosene stoves. And once we had, we call it, I forgot the name of it. And it's a stone, because home is stone-like. And the stones they build with, you take half of one, and you shape it with a bit slanting like this. I have one there to play with. Like,
oh, we'll show photograph it later.
Yes, I show you. And it's got, then you make, you cut between like this, and leave like four legs, not high, about that much. And here you make three slots with a hole under. In that hole, little hole like this, you know, you put the wood to burn. And you put the pot on top of this. We leave it in, when it's warm, we leave it in the backyard. So if war comes, we run to the shelter. And you can't leave it in the house burning, you know. So we leave it with the pot on top and everything. What happens, happens, you know. And it was good because you couldn't get the kerosene for the stove, you know, because it was all kerosene, little cookers, you know, and things like that. So it was good too. Because, and then again, you couldn't find much wood either, because the baker bakes with wood, and more or less they try to get all they can, you know. But we managed anyhow. We managed. Not that we were special, but managed.
So you're showing me now a replica,
yeah,
of what you were just talking about.
We call it Kenur.
Can you spell that?
K-E-N-U-R-E, Kenur. No, you are. No, forget the E.
So you bought that in Malta or here?
I think they send it for me.
Oh, that's nice. So we'll photograph that later.
Yes, that's how they used to cook, or fry pan if you're frying. And it was, at least you could do it, you know. Was not easy. As I say, as a child, it is different. But for parents, was not fun.
So after the war, you're thinking about the world.
Yeah, yeah.
The war would have impacted that thinking, no doubt.
Not really.
No? Always? No,
not really.
Always with you?
I always. I thought then, and my mother blames my godfather, because he was English and in the Navy. But my father was in the Navy, too. She doesn't blame my father that I'm like him, you know what I mean? But she blames him. She said, not another Englishman will come in my house. That's every time I make her mad, you know. But I don't see that why it should affect that one, you know, like that because he was English and it didn't worry me. I think more it's my father that he was away. He's my father, not him, you know.
So how did you get the money to move?
To come here?
Yes.
Well, it was not hard. It was, we came only $5 we paid. Cabin, a lot too. Nice, very, because we came with the English ship, the Endeavour. And you had no complaints whatsoever. On every ship that came to Australia, they send somebody in charge, Maltese, so you can complain to him if they don't treat you right, right? They never send with us. We had a priest, like, but nobody, they didn't send somebody to watch because it was, you had no complaints. No complaints. The service was beautiful, everything. I mean, more than what we thought we would have because we're not used to that home, you know. And it was very nice. You couldn't complain. And 26 days we were here, you know.
So where did you land?
We landed, I came to Sydney, but we stopped first in Perth, Adelaide, Melbourne, the most we made 2 days, I think. I went to my friend's place. She went before me. And then Sydney.
What year was that?
Oh, she, 19? Was it 56?
35, if you were 21.
I think, yes, I was 21, yeah.
So about 1956?
Yeah, yeah.
So...
And I never worried because I came or it didn't bother me.
What happened when you arrived?
Oh, my brother was here only a few months, like, because I started straight. And, of course, they didn't have that much money. They were living in tin sheds, chicken sheds, because when I came. And So they had no money to come all, him, the wife, the daughter, and that. So he came only for me, you know, and waited there for me and then picked me up. We came by train from Sydney to Wentworthville. And then Wentworthville, there was a house, and the man used to use his car as a taxi. And you go there, and you tell him if he takes you, if he's there. And only 2 and 6 it was, 2 shillings 6 pence to get me, because not far. It was in Wentia now. And we went there, and it was nice to see them again and talk, you know, and all these things. And I stayed with them not long, because, as I say, there was my brother there too. And this was 2-room shed, roof, like the lamp is here, you know, up there, but that's your head, you know, and then things like... Plus, my brother and I, it's too much, you know. So anyhow, we found...
It was a farm?
Yeah, farm.
What sort of farm?
Oh, they had horses. They were English, I think. And so anyhow... I didn't like to stay too long because it was too many of us, and she's very sharp. I don't like her nature, you know. So anyhow, so I found in Pendle Hill, which is one station up, same too, chicken shed, you know. But I didn't care. I'm alone. I have my space, and that's it, you know. There were so many holes in that shed. When he comes in the garage with the truck, he blinds me if I'm in bed, because it's too much light come through the holes. And we were paying, I think, £1.14 a week for it. And not me only, others with family, you know. And lucky that this woman that was next to me in the shed, she had a fight with him, and she said she'd report him. So he had an old house and divided in two or three, in two, I think. And he said, okay, look, tomorrow you're shifting in this house. And he took us there, which was not better, normal house. So we had a big room, then come down step, and you had a table there, and we cook with our Valor stove we brought, kerosene. He comes to see if you're using electricity or if you have a jug there, so you don't waste his electricity. They were not really cunning, really mean. Anyhow, and I was happy because we were free more, you know. And my brother used to like to go pictures all the time. He just goes, was not far. And it didn't bother me never to say, oh, I shouldn't have come, or, you know, it didn't. And then from there, I went to, you know, that's where I met my husband, in Pendle Hill.
So was that on a farm there, was it?
Yeah, yes.
You said you stayed in chicken shed, so were the chicken farm or what was
it? Yeah, it was.
You don't remember the name of the owner of the farm?
Oh, probably? Not really, no. He was from Gozo, which is the island next to Malta.
So he was a Maltese.
Maltese too, yes. But, you know, pretty mean on money they were.
So you met your husband there?
Yeah. We were coming from work boat.
Okay, so let's find out what's your husband's full name?
Adam Jakubek.
And his date of birth?
Oh, God, I forgot.
Or year? How old was he when he passed?
He was 29 when we were married.
Okay. And what year were you married?
And that was, I think, 56 I came here.
Yeah, you got married that same year?
The same year, yes, on the April.
Okay.
No, I came in April and I married in December. That's right.
And what country was he from?
Slovakia.
Slovakia.
But he lived in Yugoslavia. They have their village, you know. I've been there to his place after he passed away, like.
And when did he pass away?
1935, I think.
So he passed away shortly after you, 10 years after you were married?
No, the kids were... Oh, yeah, they were in school already.
1945, what year did he pass on, sorry? You were married in 56.
Yes. And then after, I went to Snowy with him because he was working in Snowy, working as a waitress in the dining room.
You were?
Which was very good. I liked it anyhow. And I was still single. I had no children then. And then I fell pregnant there, see.
So what was he doing on the snow
river? He was surveying. He was always surveying.
Okay, so he was a surveyor.
Yes, yes.
And what was he doing at Pendle Hill? He'd just arrived.
Well, I don't know. I didn't talk about arriving in that. But when he came to live in his uncle's place on the street before me, so we used to get the same train home, you know. And it was dark, you know, winter, it's not light when you get there. And you had quite a good walk to walk from station to where I was, because I was on the western road, you know. And so, but I used to walk, didn't bother me. The only thing, if the cars are going that way, I go on this side, so nobody stops. They are going against me, you know. And this time I hear these footsteps close, and I whoop straight across the road, you know. And so after a few seconds, they are behind me again, you know. I didn't know who it was, I didn't look, but I put my step faster, you know. Anyhow, and then he started to talk, and you cannot just ignore it and go away, you know. So we start talking and this and that. And then after now and then, you see him, he comes, the same train, you know, and that. And then we started going together, you know, and all. And eventually, you know, he said, oh, I think we better get married and stay like this, you know, because I was, 21, 22 then. And another friend of his, Slovak too, was going to marry a young Australian woman. They were in their 40s both. And so we went to tell them that we are getting married before Christmas. And I said, oh, we have some news to tell you. And she said, oh, that's nice. Her name was Cassie. And she said, we have some too. Oh, I said. And as I start to say, you know, that we're getting, oh, we are getting married too. So I said, oh, how about you make it double? Which was good for me. I didn't know where to go here to make wedding and things like this. So anyhow, we agreed, and we made the wedding was in the street, was in the same street of the wedding thing. Oh, sorry.
That's right.
Of the wedding party. It was a Irish hall. And so we went to the St. Peter's Church. Down the road, people walked. Because not like I had cars only for me and the bridesmaid. And we went with the car, of course, now, you know. So it was two of us. And it was good because she knew everything where it was to go and order and do. I had no clue where to go or do anything, you know. So, but it was lovely because that was nice. We shared everything, you know, the expense and all, which was good for me too. Not like we had to pay it on our own, all, you know. She had hers, I had my thing, guests, like. And was all right, anyhow. And after that, I went straight to, he went to Snowy to work, and I followed him within a month, say. I went up. And he talked to the boss of the Snowy Mountains in the kitchen, in the dining room there. He was Hungarian, because they were all Hungarian, Yugoslavs, Greeks, all except Maltese. I think there was one Maltese, but I'm not sure either.
You.
Maybe, yeah, maybe. But everybody used to say, there's another man Maltese. But I don't know, I never met him now. So I liked it, you know. You work, there's nowhere to go anyhow. You're in the mountains, and you work there, and you enjoy. I enjoyed it. And they had a special, like, house where if somebody comes high class, we take him there. So one or two of us in the dining have to go, but serve them too. Not like we do here. Here we don't serve them. They serve themselves, and we give them tea and coffee. That's all. And then we clean, of course, around, you know.
What did you feed them?
Oh, they are Australian stuff, you know. The morning bacon, eggs, you know, and things like that. And they pay for it, you know, not much money. It was very cheap, really. And we had train convoys, they call them. They come in groups. And it was winter, and they see us just with the short sleeves because you had the kitchen behind us. This is the dining room. And then the sitting room behind you again with a huge fireplace. A long, big stick of wood, this stick, burning. So we were quite warm because you had both sides protecting you. And they go, and they're shivering, and they go, oh, how can you do it? You know, look, it's so cold. You must be used to it. And I say nothing because I was just coming here. In fact, the first day, the chef said, I said, oh, it's snowing. I never seen it because we didn't have. And he said, all right, get out, have an hour. Go and play in the snow. And they were laughing, you know. But it was lovely. I enjoyed it. I would have gone any time to do a job like that. Because you do your work and nobody bothers you, you know. But then when I fell pregnant, you can't stay. Because you can't stay with the little one, you know. So I came down and then my husband came down too. Because he worked in Sydney, but always surviving.
So when you say you came down, where'd you go?
Oh, my brother's place. I said I didn't stay long.
Which was where at that time?
In Kingsford.
On Kingsford?
Kingsford, yeah. And I stayed there for a while. Till he decided to come then. And then we, this friend of his had a farm here in Cowpasture Road.
Yes.
You go up and there is an airport.
Yes.
But you go before the airport, you turn into a road like this. And it's 18th Avenue it was. And that there he had a farm there with chickens. So he was on Snowy working too. So we lived there. Instead of paying him rent, we looked after the chickens because he had for sale chicken, not just two or so. I picked the eggs and everything, you know. And we feed them and everything for him. He had no worries. And that way it was good because then we put deposit on here, which was only empty, like, which is nothing much now, but this was empty.
So you were living there? You were living...
In that house, yeah. In his house, in this man's house.
At Austral, 18th Avenue?
18th Avenue.
Working?
Yeah, yeah.
What sort of work did you do then?
In there, I say working, but with the chickens. Feeding them, make sure the eggs are picked, they are pegged too. Everything, like it's my own.
How many chickens was it back then?
Oh, I don't know, but had quite a few sheds.
What year was that?
Oh, my. Anyhow, we married in
a few years.
Yeah. No. It was about, Stephen was 6 months old.
Oh, yeah. When was he born?
He was born in January 5th. He's 53 now.
So about 59 or 58.
Yeah, yeah. It would be around there.
Around there, yes.
Yes. And I looked after everything because my husband was working.
And who did your husband work for?
Surveying in Sydney, he used to go, I don't know.
You don't
government
know.
Kind of thing, I think. Because he worked in Liverpool too, surveying.
Yes.
Always worked surveying. And for me, it was good because I could, when the boy is sleeping, you know, I sneak quickly, do this, do that, because you don't want to take him with you. So little, he was crawling anyhow. And it didn't bother me. I handled it, you know. Plus, we had 3 cows there. One we had to milk, she had a little one, you know, and things. But I settled in, you know. I never milked cows before.
Oh, you never picked eggs before?
No.
Were you taught or did you teach yourself?
No. Oh, the milking I had to learn because I never did, you know. But the chicken itself, the feeding is feeding, you know. You put it in their throats and that.
And that same year you... Put a deposit on this land here?
Yes. Because then my husband came down from there, and we came to look. He came because I couldn't come with the little one. So he came to look and all, and he said, look, I found one. He said, it's on a hill, bit of a hill, and now not much, but it's still a bit of a hill, and we'll buy it.
How many acres was it?
5 acres it is.
And it's still 5 acres?
Yes, yes, but my daughter lives at the back. And I live here, so we share the expenses, like, you know. So anyhow, and he came here, he said and then eventually we built something, you know. So when we came, and we didn't have money to build a house that time, even though it was not much. So we built that big shed, 20 by 30, right where these trees are, exactly there. There's the posts, some of them still. And we built it with our own bush, cut the trees, all bush it was done, the frame. And then we covered, lined it, and we lined the outside with window and all what we wanted, but we didn't put the flooring because we told them it's a packing shed to the council. So they came, checked it. They didn't worry about floor or anything because they didn't know what we're going to do. And he said, that's okay, go ahead, you know, it's all right. And they left. When they left, we started lining and putting flooring. You know, my husband, one of my friends, her husband worked with Holden, and they had the boxes they bring the cars with big lids like this wall, you know. And she said, Rom, I'll tell him to get you some. He can get it because he works there. And she did. I don't know how much we had, quite a few, for 3-bedroom.
We had the wooden boxes.
Yeah. And lined with paper, you know, and tar, kind of. And so all we had to do is put the bricks and the strong wood under, you know, and we just nailed them on as one at a time, which is big sheets. And then lucky her brother, again, was working in a plywood factory. And she said, I order for you the plywood. I mean, I pay them. But that was nice for me because I didn't have money to throw out, you know. So we got a few rolls of this thing, and it was easy to do. Because it's one piece, you know, you go ahead. So we lined that too. Oh, when I came in first time, I said, oh, I can't believe it. Because you don't see that wood and everything. The only thing we had trouble, that the posts we built it with were too thick. So when you nailed the plywood, you couldn't go flat on it. Because that comes out and then the wood is behind it, kind of. But we managed it because soft. You know, and it was marvelous. And they never bothered us. They knew we were there. The Alexis people used to come and everybody. Nobody, they realized all. You could see, even talking to them, they have kind of respect that you have to live like this. You know, you're just coming and this. Nobody never complained. And I loved it because I owed nobody nothing. And, you know, it's your place, and you're with nobody. You know, it was really good. And then he said...
So describe how the land looked.
Bush, from front to back. Like the back, see how it is, all bush? Exactly, from the front. And rubbish in people throw, you know, because they knew nobody was here. Tins and stuff, you know, but we cleaned, it didn't matter.
And how did the street look?
Well, better than today, because it had no holes. You know,
oh, yes.
It said it's a grace.
Oh, yes.
We had no holes, nothing, just because it was starting. And we were the last bit with water. King Street didn't have. You know, they had to...
So was it all bush?
No, people cleared the bush. Like next door, Brunat and Acres, they cleaned it. And next door, they cleaned it because they're farmers. They worked the land. I didn't work. I worked a bit for myself. We plow where we clean here, we plowed a bit and that, you know, so you have your little garden. But they had plenty, like all of them had to clean it because they were all bush. And my husband loved bush. And my daughter loves it down there too. You know, it's just the feeling of how you like. But we only pushed off half. We stopped halfway.
Is that still the case today?
Yes, it's still there in her place, the bush.
How many children did you have?
Two, girl and boy, Stephen and Susan.
And what year was Stephen born? Was in 1958?
Or maybe 56 I got married. Yeah, I'd say so. I was already on Snowy then.
And your daughter?
And my daughter, good Lord, she's 51. In July.
In 1960 she was born.
Yeah, so...
Because I'm 50.
I was born Yeah, she's 51 already. Mm. I can't believe it, how they go, the years. He's all grey, and when he have the beard, I could choke him. I say, go and clean it up. He
Where
loves
does
it.
He live?
Here in this little place behind.
So you all live here still?
Yeah.
So you must have got on.
Oh, you know, because if we get mad with each other, he goes his place and I can stick to mine. And, you know, we don't fight. But
what was your husband like?
Oh, he wasn't bad. He went like good. He loved his job anyhow and everything.
Did he treat you okay?
Oh, yes, he was not bad. No. And he was sick too. Only I didn't know, you know, because he's not the one to complain. He had bad rheumatic pain when he used to have tablets, Panadol, live with them, you know, because he couldn't close the instrument or turn the things, you know. So he used to have all the time and that. But it didn't show straight away. But after a while, you could see, you know, he couldn't even close them and things like that. And then...
Do you have photos of the original house?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get them later.
Yes, I have to find them because
you have to find them.
Because I have boxes of pictures.
Now, that might be your homework. We may not be able to get to it today, but maybe you can go
if you want, yes.
That might
yes.
be easier.
Yes.
And we can do some photography
yes,
today.
Yes, yes.
And you can look for...
Because it was not closed fully.
Yes.
It was closed, say, from here to there was open, and this side too, because that was veranda. Like.
So how did you cook and how did you...
I had a wooden stove on the veranda. And I had then, after a while, we bought a little cooker, but you couldn't bake, just to cook on top, you know. And then I bought the fry pan, slowly, you know.
And what did you cook?
Oh, I cook his way, sauerkraut with pork, you know. And what else did he like? Oh, I mixed, because I had beans with lamb stew, you know. He used to like, every time we went Greek restaurant, he loved Greek restaurants. He buy this damn Greek beans and he goes to me, come on, have it. And that time I was shy, I wouldn't eat outside, you know. And so I say, look, I can't leave you there looking and I am eating. So he buys custard for me or something like that. So I have something. And he said, eat it, don't just look at it, you know. Because I don't know, I was kind of conscious, people are looking at you and...
Right.
I never been before, so you were not used to it, you know. And he lived like that. So anyhow, and things like that he liked. I cooked Maltese too.
Where would you eat at the Greek? Was it where would you
in
go?
In Sydney, I was working in Redfern, before Redfern, like Central, exactly. You know where the dental hospital is? You turn with it, and you as you walk down the road, that's all factory. And some this, that. And this was handbag factory. And I got the job there, which was good. I was living in Albion Street. So I walk only down and I'm there, you know, in the factory where I went.
When were you living there?
In Albion Street in Sydney, yeah. In Surrey Hills.
When you first arrived?
No, first arrived in Wentworth.
Yeah.
And then from my brothers went to Surrey Hills.
Oh, yeah.
Because my brother wanted to live in Sydney to go to pictures all the time.
Yes.
So, and then from there, I went... No, before I was married, because he was a bugger, you know. But he wouldn't talk much, nothing, but he do what he wants. And I come from work, and he's shifting. And in this place, we're paying £9 a week. You know, that was my wages nearly. I had £10. And I stood there, and I said, what do you think you're doing? He said, well, I'm going to live with my friends. There were three boys grew near us, too. And he felt free with them, which I understand. He said, I'm going to their place, pay the rent there, like. And I said, oh, that's lovely. I said, and what, I paid the $9 here? You know, but then I didn't mind because I was just getting married weeks after, you know. So I asked my big brother where I was before, if I spend the last couple weeks in his place, because then I get married, I'm not going to be there anyhow. And he said, okay. And I had nothing to carry because the furniture was hers, everything was hers, which was good. We didn't have much to carry. So I went straight there again and stayed the 2 weeks. And then that was that because I got married. And we went to Cooma then after the wedding. Not after straight, but we went up. And he asked the one who was working in the kitchen, in the dining room there, the boss. And he said, okay, tell her to come, you know, which was good.
Okay.
And that's how I started.
Okay. So when you were living here, when you were living at home, you were having children.
Yeah.
You weren't working.
No, no.
You didn't work at any other farms?
Only him, no. Only farm down here, this one I worked for 9 years.
Okay, so we'll get to that in a minute. So how long were you in your house in the barn?
20 years at least.
Wow.
Nobody bothered you. Nobody bothered you.
Yeah, no.
Because they realized then it was not easy. Everybody was in tin shed here.
Yeah, tell me about the street. Tell me about your neighbors.
Yeah, mostly like Bruna had. Did she have this house when we came? No, she had one bedroom house, I think. Here, which is the same house, but they extended then. But that was one bedroom. On the other side were all tin sheds, you know. And the site, I don't know, I didn't look much, but they were more or less nothing built professional, you know, nothing. And nobody complained, you know, because the council, I think, realized people had no money to just come and build. Because they could have told me there, they knew I was living there. You're paying electricity, you're paying this, they know. But they ignored it, you know. And sometimes they used to come to check because we had the chickens here and sheds. And I had the electricity for them too. And he comes to check it. And he talks with us there. He never say. And once, I don't know, I got a bill. It was about $40 or $50. I couldn't believe it. I said, I never use this electricity for home. And they came to check in case something was not working. He said, we can find nothing. You know, so and they could have reported who, where you live, who's live, but they didn't. Down the road was Wichette, somewhat, most of it, you know. So people were just starting, and they know you need the break because you have no money, you know. And I was pleased because I cost me nothing rent. I was living in my place. I had everything just the same, you know.
So who were some of your friends, some of the neighbors' names?
Oh, name. I had Tessie De Manuele, lived here before, a few years.
What was her name?
Tessie, her name, and surname was De Manuele.
What nationality was
Maltese,
she?
Maltese. So she was here, she had about 5 kids, you know, and that. Now they're all married with grandchildren and great-grandchildren and everything.
Who lives there now in that shed? Who
owns that's it. Now it's a Maltese. I don't know him, and I don't want to know him.
Oh, okay.
He's a real.
Right.
And he bought it. Then after Tessie, another young man came, but then he sold it to this man that owns it now. And he is a really mean thing, you know. I don't like him. So anyhow, I saw him once because the cow jumped the fence. And I said to Stephen, I did this half fence. That was over $1,000. I said, I'm not going to do it again, pay for it myself, all. We share. But he's cunning. He looked around, and he came back and brought the iron sticks for Stephen to put it, to change, but not change the fence. You know, cunning. And never said how much you paid for here. You know, so I said, okay, forget it. I don't like to deal with people if they're not fair, you know. And he is really a mongrel anyhow. Then again, my land is higher than theirs. Oh, here, all right. And then it goes a bit down, but I'm still higher than them. And when I used to stand, I am standing here, like, and my neighbor is there. You know, you could see the difference. So he rented to the Lebanese, and they brought here machinery from council. All right, big orange machinery, shifting sanders, this. Filled the road all, and filled again, and filled again, till he's standing here, and I'm standing here. And when it rains, my piece there, it's all water. There's nowhere to go. And I called the council, but they sent, he was a Lebanese man, the man that came. So he talked with Stephen, I go and talk to them, okay? He went to talk to them, and nothing happened. Not, in fact, they filled up more, you know? And it's not fair.
How long ago was that?
Oh, it's a few years now.
Right.
It's not too many, but because the person before them that started to fill, their little boy died there with the machine because he didn't see him on the machine or near it, something. I was away, thank God. Susan was rang me, and they were crying and everything. And he caught him in the picking, whatever they do with it, and killed him. So you can imagine, 3-year-old. And then they left after. I think it stays with you, you know. So they left, and it's been always Lebanese come back, you know. So this one is the only one that just came now, because they change so quickly each other, you know.
Okay.
Steve told him or something, and he dig the trench. Only one, but at least it can go. And he made a trench about this deep in the road. All right, he put a wood in it because he have to pass with truck. Excuse me. So, but the water will still go because the hole is there. You know, at least it drains a bit. Not that man who went from the council should have stopped them and made them clear it. No, because they are all the same.
Oh, no.
Pay each other and you get nothing.
So you know Mary Grimer on this side?
Mary Grimer.
She farm,
I know the name.
They farm Bruners next door.
Oh, yeah, I don't talk to them.
Oh, okay, you don't know them.
Because I know them. This is why I don't talk to them.
Oh, okay.
You know, we put this fence because of him. I gave him permission to put that shed 3 foot, because before it was 3 feet from the fence, right?
Okay.
And now it is 8 feet of the fence you had to put. And I said, look, 8 feet, that will be in the middle of the farm, nearly, you know? And she came, you know, crying and mucking around. She was just coming then. And I said, look, I said, if you want, I'd sign for you. You can put it 3 feet. I am sorry now, I did.
Yeah.
And Susan said to him, make sure you don't put all your rubbish near my mother's house. You look at her house when you pass it, if you do. There's not a spot of anything. But you look at next door, like me. This was full here of rubbish and tires from the whatever tractor and everything. You know? And that's not fair.
No.
Susan said to him, how could you put that rubbish there when she gave you permission? You know, to build, not to make rubbish. Oh, because they're ignorant. They're from the country, and all of them, they take what they want.
Right.
And after that, then when we were making this fence, because I said, I make it, I cover a bit, you know, he had to pay half. It's a second-hand one, but I didn't care because Susan has a friend, is a fencer. So he had some old stuff there. He said, Rom, don't worry, I put the old fence and that's all right. I said, okay. So when he put this fence, before he put the fence, he had to come to pull the stumps that was there from the old fence, you know. And he said to him, look, if you pull them out, I don't charge you for putting just for the work only, I'll charge you, not for the thing like. Okay, so I am here. He's there with the tractor, no fence, all right, there was. And he's coming in, looking how he comes in. And I have flower plants, nothing special. All he had to do is, look, Roma, can you dig this plant? That's all. And I would dig it, he can pass. And this side too, and put it back. No. So I see him coming in with tractor on it. To them it's nothing. I'm stupid. Rubbish this is, you know. Unless you get money for it, it's no good. So then he drives in here on the other plants, push the post, and I walked out. And I said, don't you have enough respect or sense to ring, tell me first so I can take the plant out? Oh, so what's a plant? I said, not to you. It's not money, so it's nothing. But it's my place, not yours. And after that, he just turned around and said, well, I'm sorry, and walked on. Saying they're ignorant people, most of them.
Okay.
It's me, and nobody else, you know. And, you know, it's not fair. I had trouble before with Bruno's husband, too.
Yeah.
Behind Kelly, we had chickens then. He goes and dig in my property because there was heavy rain or something. And I had the chickens with a bit of a gutter there, like where to run. And he digged 2 feet deep from my side, on my side. So the water runs in my place. What happened? My chicken got soaked. I didn't know, you know? And I lost 300 chicken. Tried to sell them with my friend. He was selling in the market, but you couldn't sell nothing.
So tell me about your chickens. When did you start the chickens?
Oh, I had steam.
And was that why you stopped?
No. We stopped because it didn't work.
All right.
You know. So, but then again, when you see, how dare you come in my place?
Yeah, that's right.
They're ignorant, all of them. Give them money, and it's all right. But ignorant, they can take your place just like that. You know. And that's not fair. How come you're in? And then I went and filled it with bricks and rubbish again. And now she still do it. She comes there, because you can see it was digged, and you see the toes, you know, pressed. So she let it run. Now why? All he had to do, because the gutters is all coming this way, put a deeper one that way. So it takes it off. Not it comes all here. No. And that's, I said, stuff you all. When she just came to live here, after Bruna sold it to her, she's coming for eggs, she's coming for a pot of sugar, she's same like I had before, long time when I came. And a cup of this and a cup of that. And then she tells me the boy dropped the eggs when he was coming. That's not true. She just, you know, and I don't like that. You need it, I help you. But do not use me, you know. And I cut her off. And then after this, when I said, he said, well, I'm sorry. I said, well, sorry is not good enough. And that was that. I never said a word to him or her.
Okay.
Nothing. Because I don't like people who use you.
No.
You know? And all of them, 99%, they are very selfish. Very looking after themselves. Not like we grew up.
So tell me about how important your religion is to you. Do you go to church?
I went for a while in Carnes Hill. I don't mind if I had the lift and all, you know, I go. It don't bother me. But in here, I don't like him. He's a mongrel. They should kick him out.
Where's that at?
Austral.
Oh, okay.
The church in Austral.
Oh, okay.
He criticizes all the time. He don't know how to say, like I say for myself, I go Christmas, because it's Christmas and Easter, you know. I go. He went when the church is full, and he goes, oh, he said, you see, you think you are good people because you come twice a year? Like this, you know. That's not nice.
No.
Why don't you say, isn't it nice to see you all here? You know? And things like that. Not to you to because you come twice a year. Why should I go to him? He always criticize. He doesn't know how to say nice to the children, to somebody who comes. Oh, were you sick? Why you didn't come? Something to make the thing. No, he drops it on you. And who can like him like that? He took all the crucifix, you know what they call it, the 14th station, all from the wall. That's not his. The Maltese put it there. You have to ask. Some woman, her husband fell when he was making Maltese too. You know how they go in a box when they make fix the wire outside from the truck?
Yes.
And he fell out of there.
Right.
And he was very bad. And she made, we do home. You make a wish like that if St. Anthony helped him or something like that, you would make this and that, whatever. And she made a wish with Jesus when he fell from the cross, with the cross and all, on his knees, you know. But big, from here to here. And where they're different Malta, cost her money. You know what he did? He locked it in the children's room. And that's not fair. I don't care if he don't believe. It's not his church. It's our church. We paid for it, you know?
So who built the church?
Oh, it was built when he came, after he came. Because we had the hall. They used to do it in the hall.
Okay.
And then they built the church. But it didn't make any difference. He's not nice. We had nice before him, but somehow they took him away.
Yeah, they changed.
You know?
So can we go back to when you were living in your... When did you decide to start a vegetable garden, or you grew chooks, or what happened?
No, chooks we had. No, for once we had garlic from here the front to there.
Oh, yeah.
But we didn't do nothing.
Okay.
You know, we gave it to Tony to sell.
Yeah.
But it was 6 pence or something,
yes.
Whatever. But still, then I said to my husband, look, we are not farmers. I do for myself, but not for garden. Because they know when to run, when to do. I haven't got no clue.
So tell me about the chickens. What did you try?
Well, we had chickens from Ingham's. We get them day old. And this first big shed here where the cars are now, that was with incubators and all. We had them lights with lamps under. And we grow them up. And you have to inject them or whatever they do, you know. You have to look after them. And we had sheds at the back behind them. And down here too, double line like this. And once they grow certain age, then we take them there to separate them, you know. And they grow for, I think, 3 months we keep them. In 12 weeks, with the stuff, and they sometimes has to put something like a pill in the back of the head, and my God, they go, you know, like they lose their voice, not that squeaky one, and heavy, but like fetish, you know, and I didn't like it. But anyhow, then we didn't do much money on them, we didn't, so we stopped, you know. But we did for quite a while, because my husband said at least we get something, not just spend. But, you know, you have to know really what you're doing. It's medicine involved and it's a lot of things, you know. But anyhow, then we stopped and I started working with Ingham, Nottingham. Down the road here, there was a poultry farm on this side of mine.
Who owned that poultry farm?
That's now is a Maltese man with an Asian woman lives there. They just bought it empty. And before it was Italian when I was there.
So, you don't remember the name?
Sil, what was his surname? I can see it. Sil, you know, I can nearly say it. Silvano, Conanaidulven.
That's all right.
My son will remember because he worked there picking eggs, 12 years old he was. He goes and pick eggs, because that's when my husband passed away. He was 12, and she was 10, Susan.
And you went down there and picking eggs?
Eggs.
For 9 years?
Yes, 12,000 of them.
Per day?
Not alone, you know. They had girls too picking. And I was on the machine more packing than picking. But I did the picking and packing at one time, you know. So, and I didn't mind, because you walk down, you walk up, I had no expenses, that pay was mine, you know, and I was paying the land then, because I still owned on it when he died. And lucky, you know, he knew he was sick, you know, because he don't talk about it, he won't tell you, you know. And I remember he came from work a bit sick looking, and I said, you feeling bad, or what's wrong? Oh, no, it's all right, just a bit of cold, you know, blah, blah. And he said, I thought, you know, I went to see solicitor, he said, because we had one in Liverpool, he left now. And I want to fix about here so I know what we owe and everything, you know, like this. And so what he did, he fixed that if something happens, that I could pay not big money, you know. My husband never signed for owing big money. Better owe a bit and give him more than put it high and you cannot pay, you know. So, which I agree to. So, anyhow, and he's telling me this, but didn't bug me, you know. And then by Wednesday, he was really like delirious too. So I got the doctor. I said, look, you can, because he came from doctor and he looked sickly too. So he came from doctor and he was in bed all the time. And sometimes he was like delirious, saying something that's not even make sense, you know. So I got him and he came here, gave him some tablets. And he said, if he gets worse, ring me. But by nighttime, he was really, they couldn't sleep. He talks to himself. And I was lying there near him, you know. And I say, you want something? You want, I make a cup of tea or something? And this, no, I'm all right. And he was talking to, how he's going to leave money to his Susan, you know, because his girl and all these things. And I said, this is not normal, you know. So I got up. I said, look, do you want to take me? I take you to hospital. He said, I think so. He must have felt bad. So I said, okay, lucky I come out, not this farm. Not next farm, the third farm, goes to market. They had a big 10 acres worked. And I was hoping he will be going because I had nobody unless I would ring Tony to take him. Anyhow, and I wait from him, watch the lights on the back of the house, you know, prepare the bag for him, and he goes, cigarettes. My husband, he's a smoker. And I said, okay, but I didn't. Because you're going to hospital sick, you don't take cigarettes. Anyhow, so, and that's something he laughed. Anyhow, I kept looking, all of a sudden the lights is off, and I ran to the front. I said, please send him this way, because he could go towards Austral. And he did. He come this way, and I went in the middle and stopped him. And I said, Joe, you do me a favor? He said, what happened? I said, Adam is not the best if you drop us in Liverpool Hospital. Sure, he said, sure, because they're nice people. They're Maltese too. And he came here, helped me take him out because he was, you could see, not strong. Sat down, got to the hospital. The trouble in hospital, you wait donkey's ages. Anyhow, took him in, checked him, and he came out. He said, look, we are going to keep him just because I think he relaxed. He knows he's here. He can be looked after. I said, that's fair enough. You know, it was 4 o'clock in the morning by then. So I never woke the kids. I let them, it's no use. Anyhow, and then he said, I went to see him. And I said, then I see you tomorrow. And he said, oh, don't worry. He said, if you're busy, you know, I'd be all right. I said, okay. And he said, get a taxi. Don't go walking. I said, don't be silly. I walk from Liverpool, you know. So I rang a taxi from hospital and they came and I came here. And the kids didn't even know, you know, till I said that dad is in hospital. And I took him Thursday, Friday. I was going to go and see him. And I get the call. He's gone, you know. And he was in intensive care. I stayed with him the day till Monday there, dawn before the first. And, you know, and they said, they just told me he's got yellow something. What they call it? Yellow. Oh boy, what he called it. I don't know. But I don't believe he had what they said. He was sick, you know. But I don't believe that he had the thing. But he could have. I don't know. But I know in 2 days he was gone, you know. And he looked sick too, to me. I know he had bad rheumatic pains. I know. And he lived on Panadol, you know. And then he was sick just a few months before because he went to Perth to work on surveying too with his boss. And they had to go to hospital there too because when he came, he just came from hospital. And you know how you smell that smell of the medicine and all. And he looked too palish like, you know. And this time in 2 days, he was gone, you know. And you had to keep going. You can't just stop and cry, you know. It doesn't change anything. So I was pleased I had this job. I had no expense whatsoever. And I could put so much on the land. I didn't owe much, but still I owed, so you must pay, you know.
Can you describe what you did there?
In Austin.
Literally, tell me what.
Yeah. I go there. As soon as I get in, I put my things away, and I get the trolley, put the baskets on, empty, and we put the eggs in. I go and pick every row, and I had to count that time. How many? Because he was checking how much they're lying, you know. He had a list there, and I write every line what I pick. And so I do that, you know. And then I pick, we were two of us picking too. There was the girl that puts the eggs for me on the machine as I'm taking and preparing. And so I finished that. He was more than satisfied because sometimes 8 o'clock I'm still sitting there working nighttime. And I didn't care for the money, like to give me extra, you know. So anyhow, so I did that. Then another girl came, woman, and came, and she was doing the picking mostly, and I do the packing, you know, because it was not much. But then there was 12,500. It was a lot, you know.
How many eggs a day?
That was 12,500 a day.
And how many chickens?
Oh, I don't know. He had two big sheds and another big shed on that side, all layers. And then the other sheds were where the little ones are growing, you know.
And how were they in their cages? Were they caged?
Or? Yes, two in each cage. Sometimes one runs away, but it's sorry because she's stuck in manure or something, you know. But they are all in cages, all, you know. And they know their time for food. They know everything. You'd be surprised. They are not noise at all. He walks in with the feeding machine, and you hear them, and their feet, you know. How they know, you know. But I enjoyed it because I had no transport, no nothing. And I minded their kids. They were little. If they want to go out, you know, I stay there with them. And they come to, I'm coming after 8 hours work there. Oh, Mrs. Jakubek, I want to come with you. And there were three of them, two girls and a boy. He was little, the boy. And I say, oh, okay, come on. And there I am coming up with three kids, you know. And they talk with me and all this stuff. I didn't mind, you know, they were nice that way. But then I finished really with them with court. Because this Australian woman, which was cheating in there, pinching eggs like hell, you know, she was pumping her against me. I could see. There was never closeness before, you know. And I was there packing, and the cracks, the airline, I don't know what an airline crack, if you know, this, if you look at that egg, if the light's on, because we have the lights, you see the crack. That is a cracked egg. You're not allowed to put it with good ones, right? Which we did many times. Between each carton you put here and there, you know. So, and I used to buy cracked eggs for my friends. Sometimes they want two dozen, four dozen, whatever. I pay her. I show her I pay her. And that's it. And she most probably thought I'm, she maybe told her the other one because she was a creature, I tell you. And I saw her cutting from me, not like before, you know. So I said, that's all right, you know. And I'm working there. And she came in and said that I was pinching the eggs. And I said, when did you see me going with eggs home? When? Because I worked even till 8 o'clock and never charged them into anything, nothing. I said, look, who cares? I'm here, you know, and that's it. And anyhow, eventually, she come here, after I come from work, to tell me that I'm finished, just like that. So I went to my solicitor, and I explained what happened. And I said, I haven't touched a thing from there except work, like donkey. I said, and what is mine, I want. I want whatever long service, something she owes me. So he did put the thing for court, you know. And I never went to court. I was scared because I didn't know, you know, what's going to happen. So anyhow, he had that month chance to sue them, to take them to court. And he's taking his time. And he's got a lot of Italians. So I thought he might be protecting them, you know, because they maybe have the money. So I rang him a few weeks before. I said, listen, are you doing anything about this thing? Because it's going to close, and then I can do nothing. And then he goes, oh, that's all right, Mrs. Jakubek, sorry, it slipped my mind, and blah, 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 because I don't have money, so he couldn't care less, you know. So I said to him, look, I don't care, I said. If I lose it, you'll be in trouble because you should have done it before. And straight away, he said he's got a man there working, doing things, something. And he sent him straight away with me to get this and do that. And before you know it was everything, he picked me up and took me to Sydney to the, whatever they call it, not solicitor, higher than solicitor.
Barrister,
that's right. He took me there and we talked about it and all, you know, and everything. So the barrister represented me. He was there with him, but never opened his mouth, you know. So anyhow, time came to go, and we went there, and he was asking me questions. I was asking, answering free, and every time and now and then he says, oh, if you need help, you tell your thing to help you, you know. The solicitor says, oh, I think it tells me, if you need help, tell me, you know, just so I say, tell you what to say, kind of. And I said, oh, he jumps the solicitor, the big one, what you call him. And he said, don't worry, she's doing all right. Just like that. I worked already 9 years there. So anyhow, so he said, he's talking to me and everything, trying to make it that I touch the eggs or something, you know. And then he was saying, and how about when you take the airline crags, that's good eggs. Like this. No, he doesn't have a clue. They told him, you know. I said, no, that's airline crack. And to make it good, when we were at the barrister, the solicitor said, oh, the barrister said to the solicitor, look, we better get the egg board men, which was a good idea, because they know. He said, so we're backed up. And just as well, you know. So anyhow, when I was answering, I didn't care because it's true what I'm telling him and everything, you know. And then how, then it was the Eggborn man thing. First was her brother, who was the boss. He was, and she was telling lies and thing, anything that came. I didn't care, I just said that. And then he called the Eggborn man. And I said, good, because he cannot tell lies anyhow. So he goes on him really rough, you know, and he said, and like, what do you think? If she puts airline cracks in the thing, that's okay, he said. If I go in a shop and I find one airline crack, because they do go and check, he said, I'll get the whole order and I'll send it back. I said, the airline crack is a crack. Yeah? She was saying I was taking good eggs home, which I never did, never. Not even airline, because if they're all right, I did put myself some, you know. But bugger you, you want to cheat me and I cover for you? No chance. So anyhow, she was telling lies when she was on that, you know, made me jump. And then he left this one, they finished, and you know, he goes inside to talk, whatever they did, I don't know. And he comes out, and I'm waiting for the thing, you know. And he goes, all right, now, before I say anything, who's going to pay the bill, like, you know? Is it who wins, who loses, or who wins, or whatever what goes on, not win, he cannot pay. And he said, who lose, pays. And what do you know? He had to pay everything. And the solicitor said, don't worry, Mrs. Jakubek, I'll fix it. He said, I'll get my money. You know, because it's, why do that? They have money like anything. And tried, and I worked like a donkey. If I didn't work, I would say, all right. But I worked. And I stayed 8 o'clock sometimes without getting paid in the, what do you call, overtime. And I didn't care either. You know, and then you push me like this. So then he owed me 300 something, and there was some sense in. And comes this, what they call them? Not a policeman, what they call them?
Postman or something.
No. When they have a village.
All right.
They have a man in charge.
A ranger or something.
Or something like that, yeah. Not ranger anyhow.
Yeah, I know what
I
you
can
mean.
Think of the
I
man.
I know what you mean.
And he's telling me who he is. He said, oh, I got you this check from Mr. Casanego. They were the same name. And I said, oh, thank you. I said, but wait a minute. So I opened the thing, and it was, say, 300 only. Now 15 cents or 30 cents, whatever it was. And I said, listen, from him, I want every dime. So you better take this back. And he thought, my God, what is she, you know? And take it back and tell him I want to the last cent. I gave him enough, and he didn't respect that, you know. And you should see his face. My, like, you know, oh, what is few cents? For me, it's plenty. He cheated me, he won't cheat again, you know. And he came back with the few cents on. I said, no, I won't let you go.
So that's a great strength you've got.
And I do. Once I know I'm right, I didn't cheat. I worked hard like a donkey there.
Where did you get that strength from? With him? Or
My mother is a pretty strong woman,
yeah.
You know, because she had to handle everything herself.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, she's pretty strong.
Well, congratulations. You know. I'm very impressed with that story.
Oh, look, you should see. And I got so cranky when I give them so much. Mind the kids here after I come from work, which I'm busy, you know, and nobody respect you.
Because it probably went on a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Because I know different other women that picked eggs and got paid pittance. And
yeah.
Cause, and I've said to them, did you get any long service leave? Like, and they worked for 12, 13 years.
Yeah.
And they said, no. And I think, well, why didn't you do anything?
Yes, yes, yes. After I left, they sacked my brother, not straight away, after. And they paid him the money. Because they knew most probably that I pushed him, you know, to go. Why should he leave it to them? It's my money, I get it, and that's it. My God, they say she can talk.
You can talk? My God. You sit here and you say, what a life. What makes you say that?
Oh, you know, I hate when I see people around you. You try to, you know, you talk, you're nice with them and everything. Then they go from the back and kick you, you know. I don't like double-faced people. So, because, you know, when I help, even like I had here, she was acting that she's going cuckoo from work, you know. And she was all right as far as I seen, but that doesn't matter. And I didn't mind, it's her business, you know, to do this. But she acts, especially when she's going to their doctor, you know. Oh, you could see she won't color her hair. She won't wear gold. She goes really miserable.
Who's this?
Oh, she used to live here near me.
All right.
You know, and she didn't stop being miserable till she got the money. You know, and I don't like that. You're healthy, thank God.
Oh, well.
You know, and when you see them too many around you, you don't respect them anyhow. You know, you don't. Because for the dollar, they will skin you. They will skin you.
So tell me what you did after the chook farm.
After the chook farm, what did I do? I worked for a while after the chook farm.
Hang on. Yeah?
I worked with Blythe, a telephone cords.
Oh, yeah.
For I don't know how many, a couple of years, I think. Because then I went home holiday, so I stopped. And he said, look, we don't know when you come back or how. So he said, you better leave and then come back. We take you. And I said, oh, that's all right. Anyhow. So I went with Blythe. Where did I work more? I think with Blythe only.
When did you start building this house?
When Susan got married. Was it 79? I think so, yes, 79.
And who built it?
Masterton.
Uh-huh.
Masterton.
How come you did it?
Well, I was looking and, you know, I said, look, I'm not growing younger, you know, and I better go and check and see what I can do. Because you can't, the longer you wait, the harder it gets, anyhow. So I did go with my daughter around and all, and then we picked this one, because we had about 6 or 8 there you can pick from. And we picked this one and everything, and I paid slowly, like on the bank, like thing. Then my daughter came here and she said, Mom, I owe still the 27,000 on it. And she said, Mom, how about She got some long service or something money. I forgot what. She was at the bank anyhow then. And she said, how about I give you 27,000, which would have paid my, which it did pay my place. And that not give me, it's my money, like, because I gave her, I could have got 200.
You gave her your life.
I could have, yeah. And I could have had at least 200,000 for that half, not 27. But my daughter, I said, and it will help me because I don't have to worry how to pay and things like that. So I said, okay, you know, but I wanted her to respect that too.
Face me when you're talking.
Oh, yes, you know, dawar le mola. So I said, yes, I said, you, okay, I said, you know, do you think she put a dollar extra on the 27? So, but I didn't mind.
So what did she get for that? She got to live here.
She got 2.5 acres.
Oh, 2.5 acres.
Yes.
Oh, good for her.
I said, that I would have got easy $250 for it. I said, and I will remind her many times.
I'm sure.
Because I don't like it. I did give her. She never said, Mom, here's a dollar extra. Keep it in your bank, you know, which I don't mind as long as they're all right. But still, don't get greedy. Because if you get greedy, then I don't like it. Okay? So anyhow, so she gave me this money, put in the bank, exactly 27. And I start paying slowly, like 15 first, and then to break it in two or three to pay it. But I paid it anyhow.
So what part of the land does she own?
The bush part. And she doesn't want to push it too. She's like her father. Because he wouldn't have pushed here. But I said, listen, I don't want all these trees around me. We build our place with it there. All the frame was all done with bush.
So do you think timber. You'll stay here till you leave this world?
Oh, yes. If I'm still alive, that is.
Because don't want it subdivided or sell it?
No. I mean, if I would, whoever comes to buy it, not me. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't want to take that I have to do it myself. No.
Well, I'm not, is your home.
I'm not that experienced. Oh, I'll miss my place. And if I ever, see, what I hate is that where you go, it might be not exactly what you really want, you know. Not that I want special, no. I'd be happy if I have this house where I go. I'm used to it now, you know, and things like that. But
tell me about how you started going out of Liverpool, how that started, that community service, because you're on the management committee. How long have you been on the management?
For 12, 14 years.
How was your involvement?
Because
how'd that start?
I'm not that good, I tell you true. But I listen, and if I think I should say no, I say no, and if it's I think I say right. Because it's hard to get anybody. You know, so I say I go anyhow. But it started with Jane, like when my daughter's husband died, Bruna came and she, you know, said she's sorry and all this stuff. And then she said, Ron, she said, why don't you come with us? She's been going a long time, you know, she's been going even when Tony was around, sneaking to go there with them. And she said, come with us, at least you come out once a fortnight. I said, Oh, all right, you know, I think about it. So anyhow, she told Jane, and then I went and that, and Jane, then she asked me to be in the community, in the thing, which I never been, you know, but I listen what they talking, and if I like to agree, I agree, if I don't, I don't, and that's all. I'm not experienced, you know.
So how has it been beneficial to you?
The meeting.
No, going out.
It is, because I have no car. You can't ask them. They're always busy. See? I mean, my daughter would take me if it's somewhere important. But if it's somewhere like this, she's running with this one, she's running with that one. You know, I don't like to bother them. And this way, she comes here, picks me up, brings me back. I don't want nothing more.
Who are some of your friends?
In there? Oh.
In the community.
Well, in the community, really good friends. I don't know if I can find.
You got one?
Well, I have one I work with before. She lives in Casula.
So what do you think of the community and how it's changing?
Well, I don't know, you know, it's very hard to judge, and so, I don't know,
okay.
Maybe I'm too honest, I don't know.
So tell me about Kelly Street. I like Kelly Street, it's quite interesting, isn't it?
It is, and I'm, as I say, I'm not, I don't complain, I've been, you go out there, I've been here now, oh, maybe 20, how many years, I don't even know.
You know Jessica?
Jessica.
Kunzusic?
Kunisic, yeah.
Have you been friendly with Jessie at all?
Well, she's nice. We talk if we meet, but I don't see her much.
Do you mix with any of the other people on this? Do you know anyone on the street? Do you know David Chung?
No.
No.
No. I know David Gowans.
Right.
On the that side he is. And there was the Polish woman next to him, which now they went to Canberra because she died. And the kids were all to Canberra, so he went too. That was Jezolowski.
So how do you spend your time?
Well, here I go a bit garden, run to the chickens. You know, before I had the cows or sheep here. So you go and look at them or do something.
So you had sheep?
Not a long time, about 3 months or so. My son bought them, and she had baby one of them. She was cute. She stops, drinks when she wants, you know. And then he wants to shear them. And he wanted $100. And $100, he bought one of them, I think. So I said, what? Why I pay $100? He said, I buy another sheep, you know, like this. So I said, look, how about we sell them? I said, okay, sell them, you know. So we put them in. And I would have loved to keep the little one, but you can't keep her alone. It's not fair.
Tell me what you do every day. Well, how do you spend your day?
Every day I get up. If there's washing, I put it on. So then I chuck it on the line. Look here, the same, clean what I need. Then I might play cards by myself, you know, just to kill the time. Or radio on, I sing there with him, you know, pass the time. Just going as I'm doing things, you know.
And you feed animals. Tell me about what you do.
Well, I feed the rabbits in the morning and afternoon, and the chickens for morning and afternoon. I give them, yes. I go inside and give them pellets in the hopper a bit, just to have for the night. You know, there's only 6 of them. So I go there, so then I go in the garden if something needs chipping or replanting or plant, you know, just to pass the time. And it's not bad. I move, you know. I don't stand still. And if somebody comes for a cuppa, we sit and talk, you know. But not many, because everybody's busy here.
Tell me about Tiny, the dog. What does Tiny mean to you?
Oh, I miss her if something happens. She's so close. She nearly talks to you. The way she acts, you know. Even here, she is here with me, and I say, oh, Susan is coming. She goes there, stands straight. You know, those animals in the bush. And she goes, but from side to side, you know. Anything you tell her, she reacts straight away, you know. So I'm used to her now, you know, which I don't mind. Even if she barks, you know, somebody there or something. But she barks for anything, even a bird. Okay? Nobody's allowed to come in this piece. If a bird flies on the tree, she go berserk. If they touch that fence, she's there, you know. Now, she's very sharp, really.
Do you drive a car?
No. I nearly did once, but I got so scared I never did.
So how did you shop and everything?
Well, I always had the delivery first when I came here from West Hoxton. Used to send him the order. And to the butcher here in Austral, we had one. I ring him the order, Johnny, and send his sister with the order and I pay her. Or the greengrocer used to come here. Every fortnight, with truck, with fruit and everything, you know. No, hasn't been bad, not really. And now I go once a fortnight shopping with Sarah, you know, which is good. She's good. She waits for us and all, you know. We go first our Carnes Hill, then Aldi, or sometimes we go just to Kmart, you know. So, and that's for me, it's quite good. That's twice I'm out. You know, I enjoy it. And when we go out, things like we're going for the lights, I book straight away. I say, whatever it is, put my name. Because I never get out otherwise. You can't ask my daughter. She's always busy, you know, or going somewhere. The kids, you don't see them. Only when it's Christmas, with a smile now. Now I'm going to take the little one with me. She's 18, not little, you know. And I said to her, now listen, don't expect high payment in Christmas, I said. This takes off from your present. So you get less. Now, because if she see me giving $100 to her sister, she'll expect it, knowing her. You know, she tells you, don't worry. So I said, only you get the change from what's left. Oh, that's all right, Nana, that's all right. I said, that's good. Because I saw her, she wants to go because her sister went and they slept there and came back because they drove there. And she kind of, oh, I didn't see it. So, and she's not the best either. She's got, I don't know, nobody knows what she's got. But it's terrible. You know, 1 minute she's all right and 1 minute it's the muscles, you know. But she's good, she don't whinge. You see those eyes, they get like darkish, you know, and quiet. You see her quiet because she has big tongue, you know, when she start talking. And she stands there and then after a while, I say, how is it sore? Oh, a little bit. I go to sleep.
Do you think she's inherited it from a grandfather?
Maybe, I don't know. I don't know if he had anything. I know grandmother had sugar and tea gunk of the sugar from father. He had it too. All the three boys had sugar hairs, the mother of Danny's mother. And the girl, no, the girl was all right. But the three boys, all sugar. And Tegan copped it when she was about 12. She was here and I saw her get up about three times to toilet. And I said, oh boy, because she never did. And I said to Susan, and Susan, as I'm telling her, she was going to ask me, because she noticed too. And took her and straight away she... But she's good. She looks after herself, you know. She do exactly what she should. She's different to Amber, you know.
I'm going to end this soon.
Yeah, okay.
Anything to say?
Oh, well, it's my pleasure to give you the information.